Imagine Guy Fieri naked rolling around in a wok full of oil.
Why would you do that?
Question. Question.
I think you lost me about five words into that sentence. Imagine Guy Fieri, and then that's enough.
No, you heard the naked part.
I'm trying not
rolling
to.
Rolling around in a wok full of oil.
Why?
There's an important question to go along with that, Mickey.
Why does would he, you do that?
Does he throw the sunglasses on the back of his head even though he's naked otherwise?
Yes. And he's just grinning away, pretending that people like him.
No.
So, Ken, enjoy that image tonight as you try to go to sleep.
This is Superhero Time. With XV.
XV is Bandai.
Hey, Mickey.
I just stabbed your baby in the heart in the other room. Do you want to go see?
Paladin.
Now, when say damage, you mean inserted anally, right?
Ken.
No, I was just stretching, that's all.
And Fort Max.
Multiple men.
Okay, so this week on Superhero Time, we've got Ken back. I'm pretty sure Ken's not female, so I think we're back to status quo. Although, you never know, maybe Ken is short for something, like, you know,
Kengina.
Kenberly, I don't know. Kenrietta. Yes, Ken's name is now Kenrietta. Ken had to leave us for a few minutes.
So we started the show without him.
How convenient.
Or her, as the case may be.
It's rude to ask about gender pronouns now.
Well, what are you supposed to do then?
You're supposed to shut up and not think of anything. You're not supposed to have questions or engage the enemy.
But without gender pronouns, how do we know who the enemy is?
It doesn't matter who the enemy is. All that matters is that you lose.
But I always lose.
Great, that means you're winning.
Oh, cool. So, while we wait for Kenjina to come back, Paladin, what's in the news?
Three more movie-exclusive forms for Kamen Rider Gaim's Battle of the Golden Fruit Cup.
Now, this is in addition to the Apple forms we already...
Yes.
Okay.
First up is Dark Jinba Arms.
Yes,
Gigabeetle's
kind of alarmed by that because he thinks he might have to buy four of those, too.
Like, they'll even make one.
No, yeah. What Gigabeetle's doing, he's going to order four of the Figuarts Jinba arms because it can do all four forms.
It can? I don't remember that part.
Well, that's what Gigabeetle thinks it'll do anyway.
Yeah, it can. I believe it's like part swaps.
Yeah, because
the official Figuarts. Picture show chest of all four of them.
I don't know, it's Jinba. I didn't look at the official pictures.
Because you don't care about Jinba, I guess.
Right. It's ugly.
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll probably never see it again anyway. After next week.
And the other two are Gaim Durian Arms and Dungari Arms.
Well,
so yeah, they remember that arms changing is a gimmick that exists.
What is that last one?
Acorn Arms.
Oh.
Dongli.
Because acorns hang like little dongles.
Uh-huh. It's an acorn
Very
USB little. Dongle. We need some kind of Lockseed thing with an extendable Gaia memory end.
Oh,
so
God.
So you could plug a Lockseed into a Gaia memory, or into a double driver, or lost driver, or...
Isn't that kind of what the Kiwami seed does?
No, that's a key, so you can plug it into your Mobi rates.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one who had that thought.
I had that thought as soon as I saw the episode preview 2 weeks ago.
But there's another interesting feature of Kiwami Arms, as demonstrated by Arms Change number 13. Probably the last retail release one. Its special ability is to cast off the Kachidoki armor.
Hence why we will probably not be seeing Jinba much more for a while, if ever.
Apparently people from Zect went to work at Yggdrasil.
I'm not really surprised by that, are you?
No.
I should be, no.
The toilet's like butt.
Well,
I haven't actually seen it. And Paladin's not actually putting links in the Skype chat like he usually does that I ignore.
Well, somehow I figured out you don't care that much.
I like Kiwami better in motion than I do in pictures by a large
margin. Imagine a spring-loaded pretender shell from G1.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool, though. But the problem is it's the wrong color.
It's the wrong shade of white, silver-ish?
Well, Kachidoki is blue, and Kiwami is white, but the toy is just, you know, white.
Yeah.
They needed to do like, double form change extreme, where, you know, half the limbs were one color and the other half were the other form's color, and you just, you know, twist them. And
no, actually, when you stamp the Kachidoki armor on, he actually turns blue.
That would be awesome.
Off, your chain becomes white.
That would be awesome if they could actually figure out a way to do that. Like, the best way to do that would be to make the whole thing be clear plastic and have LED lights inside, and when the armor's snapped on, blue lights turn on, and it glows blue.
Now, I think if
that's
the
why
armor
I say itself, that's why I say it works better in the show.
No, if the armor, the Kachidoki armor, is like really hot, they could just use color change paint.
Uh huh. But how would you keep
fire
the armor
it off,
warm?
Figure it would cool down and change to white.
How would you keep the armor warm though?
You put a heating pack.
Put it under the lights.
There's a battery running electric current through it.
Oh, okay. Well, can't you make stuff, like, don't they have pigments that react to electric current now? You could just do that and save the heating element.
This is only going to cost $200 for the children's toy.
No. I know exactly
what
they need.
Compared to eBay rates, that's actually not that bad.
I know how they can do this. They just make the entire surface of the toy LCD screens.
Okay.
That's the easy way to do it. The whole figure is a backlit LCD display. And then, you know, somebody will hack it so they can actually watch a Gaim episode on your Kiwami arm figure.
Oh, XV. Toku fan doesn't know what hacking actually means.
I know. Well, no, I mean, they'll poke a toothpick into the screw hole on the back.
That was perfect, thank you.
Also a convenient euphemism. No, I mean, I guess this is really the only way they could do an arms change figure, since Kiwami Arms is not actually an arms. So there you go.
Yeah, I think I'll be passing on this one for now. I still can't find a damn Duke.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get one eventually.
Tried twice on Mandarake, and they both failed.
Have you tried Amazon yet?
Yeah, try somewhere that's not Mandarake.
Yeah, that's like $60 with shipping.
We'll try later.
Right.
But you're saying it is available.
Yeah.
Actually, here, $40.81 plus $5.55 shipping. Suck my dick.
Is that an actual U.S.-based seller? All the ones I saw on Amazon say ships from Japan.
Does it matter if it's still $5 shipping?
It might if it doesn't get here for like 4 months.
Would you like for an elf to just teleport up your rectum? Because that sounds like the only option that's going to satisfy you.
Oh, wow. I doubt it would, but it wouldn't hurt them to try.
It might hurt you to try, though. Because if they don't get the placement just right when they're teleporting that in, I think some bad things might happen.
There's nothing I can't afford to lose down there.
That's true. It's not like you're using most of the stuff you've got down there.
Just here.
So I sent Kilby an email about that thing we were talking about before, and his response was, "What are you talking about?" Good job, Kilby. Okay, so anyway.
Oh, yeah,
other
news,
right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, remember that Vortex programming block Savon had?
Not anymore.
Yep.
what a great loss to yeah.
It's the
so
end
what,
it's
one
the end
show
of
did they cancel?
All of them.
The entire programming block is gone.
It's the end of broadcast Saturday morning kids shows.
Considering what it was like at the end, that's like putting a sick horse out of its misery.
Or dog.
Or dog.
Or, you know, Wildebeest.
Wildebeest.
Yes.
It's bad.
Do you have a problem with wildebeest?
Well, I don't know. I've never eaten one.
It was bad when you had
finish a whole one.
A kids block taking kids shows that have aired on other kids blocks and chopping them down to almost indecipherable things. So it's
And painting Mr. Popo blue.
Maybe Mr. Popo blue. I think the most hilarious edits I've read were from like Transformers Prime, where it's like this shit doesn't make no sense.
Yeah, so that's the thing that happened.
And nothing of value was lost.
Apparently not.
Considering most of it was reruns of shows that are over 10 years old.
They didn't even get through Lost Galaxy the whole way once.
And this is the Bonds block. Well, actually, that's kind of true to form, considering how long it took Lost Galaxy to air in the first place.
Just the whole show aired within a year.
It did, but it kept getting delayed.
That's because they were still editing the episode they just finished filming.
I know. I'm just saying, it did not end until like middle of December.
Well, neither did RPM.
Yeah, but that was more ABC.
Yeah.
And back into the Bonds days, they would usually, the finale would usually be like November.
October,
November, something like that. Not Lost Galaxy. Oh, no.
Lost Galaxy sure was an interesting thing that happened to Power Rangers.
It sure happened to Power Rangers, all right.
It had a couple of good moments, but...
I mean, I don't want to be taken wrong there. I like Lost Galaxy a lot.
So do I. I have a hard time justifying it, though.
It's not a completely irredeemable series.
Not at all.
It has a lot of good ideas. It is connecting the dots.
Just incredibly poor execution.
Yeah, just connecting the dots between them is the fun part.
So what's this supposed to be?
A non-functional link.
I guessed that part.
One second. Let me fix.
Duke Lemon Energy Arms, $40.81 plus $5.55 shipping.
Mickey, I don't think that's how that works.
It's how it works now.
Can it hurt you to try?
It almost even clips in, too.
Huh. Well, if you don't get a Morphin Brace before I come down there next, I'll have to bring mine again. Or do you already have that on order?
I've got it in my wish list, so I can track it.
Ah.
As soon as I buy Ben some teeth, I'll probably pull the trigger on it. Or I could sell some more blood and semen.
How much have you sold already?
I've still got 3 or 4 buckets left.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it's not yours.
Right, right.
Okay. I'm assuming the buckets are the semen, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's just all mixed together.
I'm sure that's fine.
Isn't that how it comes out of y'all?
Sure.
Sure.
Yes, when I bleed, there's always semen mixed into it.
Wow. I hope that's an intro cut.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Classic superhero.
What were we talking about?
I can honestly say I have no idea.
I really forget, to be honest with you. I don't know how we got this far. What next?
We learned the full backstory of Tokyo 6 this week, which I'd spoil if I thought any of you cared.
I care, I just don't want to be spoiled.
Okay then, fair enough.
Well then, everything works out.
She's very orange.
Instead, observe these Kamen Rider Lego-ish toys.
Tokyo 6 is like the most go-under thing ever.
Yes.
He's going to show up on Corrugator.
I would like to see that crossover.
I remember seeing these nano blocks like months ago.
Didn't we like think they were unofficial at first?
Even the Gaim ones?
I have no idea, but I remember seeing these months ago.
So they're basically just itty-bitty Lego pieces.
Yeah. They're fun, but they're just way overpriced in America.
Yeah.
These prices seem fairer.
That's a new one.
Yeah, you know something's wrong then.
Like you can recreate the Gaim fruits on the heads.
Okay, so anything else?
Legacy Dragon Zord's out.
Uh-huh.
And that's pretty much it.
Also, SHVR Shin, it's more of him.
Does not come with a baby.
No, and he looks too bright to me. Is it just me, or is it just the movie?
Could be the movie.
Probably they pour like a bucket of blood on him.
Yeah, possibly.
You have to supply your own dead baby.
At least now, the SIC comes with the comes with the ripped out head with spine.
Now, when you dump the bucket of blood on that, is that with or without the semen mixed in?
Well, if it's with the dead baby,
I'd have to assume it's with.
I think Figuarts Gaim also came out, didn't it?
And Baron.
I only saw stuff for Gaim so far. Admittedly, I didn't look very hard. More like, hey, this one YouTube channel I'm subscribed to has a video about Figuarts Gaim.
Gaim is the new body, right? They're just completely using the new one, correct, by now?
Well, apparently it's the old hand style, but I think it is the new body design, yes.
Oh, the body deck. It's the body that counts more, really.
Intro quote?
That's very sure. Shallow, Ken.
Sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't the Black and Black RX renewals use the old hand style, too?
Yeah. Hasn't it just been Kabuto that has the, like, Figma hands?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're not sticking to one thing there.
Well, why did they not just stick to one Sentai body style?
I never understood that either.
Yeah, so it's Bandai. They'll do what the hell they
Speaking
want.
Speaking of Sentai figure arts.
Oh, yes!
Aka Ranger.
Just in time for this week's episode.
Oh.
Yeah, and I have almost as much interest in that.
I have more interest in the figure, although he is definitely using the old body style there. Considering the figure was revealed like 2 years ago.
Yes.
Not as long as Master Asia, though. So
I think they actually have determined that Aka Ranger might be new sculpt.
Is he?
How can you tell just from the stock images?
Well, he does look a little better than the showroom one did.
I kind of want one just because he's, you know, the first Red Ranger. But
last Red Ranger figure art ever, too.
Yeah.
I like to have one, you know, just to put alongside my Rider 1 and 2.
But at the same time, I really don't have any kind of emotional attachment to the character, so I probably don't need one.
Especially after this week.
Yeah, the best thing I've ever seen him do is that last 12 seconds of Gokaiger.
So I guess when he goes on clearance for 500 yen, I'll pick one up.
Well, you shouldn't have to wait long.
No. Just watch Hobby Search.
He's not out till September, but yeah, after that you won't have to wait long.
Hobby Search or CD Japan.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't much of a news week, was it?
There's other stuff that you guys just probably don't care about.
We don't care about most of the stuff you talk about.
Exactly.
News or not.
Well, thanks for explaining the joke, Fort Max. I'm sorry, Mickey, that was mean.
It was mean, and I'm sad now. I better cry into my booze.
Or just drink the booze. That'll make you feel better, too. It'll be less salty then.
I'll just cry into the rim of it, and it'll be a margarita.
What are you drinking this week? What's this week's special mixture?
Vodka and black cherry Czech soda. It's kind of gross, but they're the choices mixing it with cream soda, and that's just not happening.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you mix vodka and cream soda, isn't that some kind of like carbonated white Russian thing?
No, I think it just ruins both of them.
To be fair, cream soda is basically ruined by itself anyway.
Well, I can tell you that mixing vodka with black cherry soda basically makes it taste like NyQuil.
So
is
cheer
that
wine.
A negative or not?
So it makes it taste like cheer wine.
Okay.
I've always found
if I wanted to get f***ed up on NyQuil, I'd just drink NyQuil.
True.
That's true. And then you'd, you know, have a nice night's sleep afterward. I like cheer wine, but I find if I drink very much of it in a short time, it starts tasting like cough syrup. So that's kind of not fun.
Have you tried a Flaming Mole yet?
No, your mother was not available.
That's a Flaming Hoe.
I'm sorry, I couldn't tell where I'm Paladin's Detroit accent. So I had a bottle of Mountain Dew Baja Blast recently, and I don't like it.
It's not as good as it is from the tap.
It's okay. I put it above some of the other flavors they've put out for limited editions.
For sodas, fountain sodas are always better anyway. But
yeah. Not necessarily. If they get the mix wrong, they're dreadful.
Well, like, yeah, if they get the mix
wrong, really easy to mess up in a fountain.
Yeah, I've had some really bad Dr. Pepper from a fountain. But, I mean, when it's right, though, it's by far better.
I think my problem is more conceptual with it, where, you know, it's supposed to be a lime flavor, but there's, like, no sour to it at all. You know, it's just all
too much Baja.
It's like all sweetness and, you know, fluorescence.
They need to release the Sangrita flavor in cans.
Well, another 5 years. Cause I had that Sangria flavor when I was down there in January, right?
Yes. I think you didn't care for it.
I think I liked it. Well, I'm pretty sure I liked it more than I ended up liking Baja Blast. We'll have to do another test on that sometime.
Bring back my goddamn good distortion.
I know, right? That was the best. See, that's
how
a lime...
That was the green one, right?
Yeah, yes. That's how a lime flavor Mountain Dew should work, where, you know, it's got the lime flavor and it's got the sourness that you expect in it, because it's a lime, and limes are sour.
And they prevent scurvy.
And it was this beautiful shade of green, too. You know, the actual soda was the same shade of green that the regular Mountain Dew bottles are, you know, to make you expect it to be green, even though it's yellow.
It looked like urine with a bacterial infection, and it was delicious.
Exactly. Well, no, because urine with a bacterial infection is more on the brown side.
Like mildew?
Yeah, a little bit. It's okay, though, to prevent that, I just drink a bottle of Tilex every once in a while. Gets rid of all that mildew out of there.
And it keeps your insides pristine and shiny.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess we ran out of news that Paladin's going to talk about.
I think that's about it for this week, yes.
And that's why we're talking about different things to drink. Only superhero time. Okay, I guess it's time for shows. So, you know, train time.
Go for it. Go for it!
All right, Ken, hop on that crazy train.
Oh, trains.
Lots and lots of trains.
Sadly, no planes or automobiles.
I was trying to find a way to make that joke in there, but I just couldn't.
Different reference.
Justify it. Yeah.
Different reference.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode starts with a not conspicuous at all shadow popping up in a jewelry store. And I wonder if it could actually be a shadow. Anyway, stuff disappears. So anyway, the Tokujers are stopping at yet another place called Dazzle Valley, where everybody but Hikari leaves.
Is it a stripper
leaves.
Community?
I don't know.
Could be. Hikari's you got those in Japan, right?
Hikari's like, no, I'm just going to stay here and keep reading my mystery novel. So they're like, okay, whatever, you're a loser.
I've had enough of y'all. Go away.
Hikari's personality in a nutshell. immediately, they are accosted by Professor Inspector Zenigata. Is Zenigata?
Okay.
About as competent.
So this episode is full of references to Japanese police dramas that none of us have ever seen, for the record, as the Tokujers are arrested.
For criminal stupidity?
No, there's a lot of that in this episode, but surprisingly little of it from them.
Yes! They spend most of the episode behind bars anyway. We're in an interrogation room. Regardless, they are accused of theft. Just because, really.
Yeah.
Because the culprit always returns to the scene of the crime, which these guys never actually got the chance to even go there.
Yes. But that's okay. Hikari
so basically
is on the case.
How real cops work.
Yes, basically. Hikari is on the case as he has taken his mystery novel a little bit too seriously. But that's okay. So is Conductor.
No, I do kind of like this, how Hikari does start to show some form of imagination and character outside of I'm a dick.
Yeah, even though
he's big into role playing.
Even though he is still a dick in this episode, but it's kind of awesome in the way how he is.
He's a dick dick.
Yes. Meanwhile, back at Castle Darkmount, villains are figuring out how to stab each other.
Hey,
in the
did
back.
You know that Rita is in love with General Schwartz?
Yeah, yes, did you? Which Schwartz is starting.
You must have forgotten. Let us repeat it 15 f***ing times an episode.
Yes, Schwartz seems to be realizing this finally himself, which is going to totally end well. Anyway, I love
I'm sure he's just thinking how he can turn it to his own advantage.
I love that the disco ball is still up there, by the way.
Yeah.
Noir is saying how she's going to, do a lot better than Nero's incompetence and is stealing stuff for Greta's wedding dress.
To make it shinier.
Zed's just like, cool. Meanwhile, the Tokugers are behind bars and freaking.
Nobody really cares that much.
Well,
they don't get a phone call in Japan?
Apparently not. The one competent member of the team is off to do his own detective work. And we get a montage of both him and Conductor. And Ticket wondering what the hell the Conductor is on.
The montage is pretty amazing. It's very 70s cop.
It is.
Conductor is wearing sunglasses just so someone somewhere can edit in that sound clip from CSI sometime.
No, he's wearing
sunglasses just so he can dramatically take them off.
Yes.
Same difference.
But yeah, the montage is pretty great. But anyway, the vacuum shadow is back to stealing stuff, which Hikari tracks down. I think this is the same place that Enter made that drill metroid.
Yeah.
So he's in Home Depot and then fights him outside of Japanese Home Depot.
Now, this is the apparently Japanese Home Depots carry flat screen TVs.
I don't know. Maybe it did. Regardless. So they try to interrogate the Tokugers in the at the jail. And
not as well as you'd expect.
Yes, because it said if you admit to doing something you didn't do, we'll give you some katsudon. So Wright's all over that shit.
I kind of like where they're taking Wright, and where he's completely insane when it comes to food.
Like, he seems to have, a good head on him otherwise, but...
Now, here's the thing. So he's not the only Red who do that.
No, he's not. He's
Kenta.
Really not. Yeah. Probably.
But at least the Mega Rangers have the sense to not make Kenta be the leader.
Yes.
Well, I think it...
I'm sorry. I was a little too specific there. At least the Mega Rangers have sense.
Well,
now, the Tokusers didn't make the leader of anything other than lunch.
Yeah, because...
But that's still making him a leader.
He led them to lunch.
Even Wright said that whoever needs to be a leader at the time will be the leader, basically. And in this episode, it is definitely Hikari as Sherlock Green comes wandering out.
Well, he's the shadow leader.
Yeah.
Sherlock Kedadama.
Yeah. So anyway, he pulls his best Ace Attorney moment and reveals what's actually been going on. Only to say he's going to be arrested for being annoying. He's like, that does not seem quite right, dude. Until
can they do that? I know a lot of people want to, but is that actually law?
But anyway,
if it is, can I enforce it?
No, you definitely cannot enforce it. Of all people.
I'm sorry, Ken, I'm having to place you under arrest.
Another cop comes in and says, there's been another robbery. It's like, so I guess we're free. Huh. This feels kind of anticlimactic.
And they just waltz on out, probably. Hikari probably just unlocked the cell for him.
Yeah.
It was unlocked the whole time and they never figured it out.
So anyway, back to investigating. And now Kagura has, of course, joined in Hikari with the cosplay.
Now, I like that when she joins in, they never point it out. She just starts doing it in the background.
Yeah.
This is my favorite visual gag. Where someone starts doing something when no one else is paying attention to them.
And, they're all used to her doing that crap, so the moment
there's
she does...
There's nothing to talk about anymore. It's just something that she's doing.
And the bad thing is we had an entire episode of Hikari getting pissed at her for that. And now and the both.
Now
of them
he just kind of got over it.
Now the both of them are doing it.
Well, she's not breaking his toys, so.
Well, this is true. So anyway, they track down the vacuum shadow to the warehouse. The warehouse, capital V.
No, first they track it down to the sushi shop.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, because sushi. Shiny fish.
Yes, of course. But
actual name, by the way.
Transform. They get their asses kicked a bit, and then Hikari switches rails with Wright, and everybody has to dig Kagura out of the trash while he takes the fight for himself. He gets sucked up into the vacuum, and then uses Wright's sword to cut his way out of it, thus crippling the vacuum shadow and allowing them to use the Super Highway Buster.
And death by seafood.
Yep.
Man, I want some sushi right now.
I still love that I haven't run out of ideas for that.
Or budget.
No shit.
You can't ever predict what it's going to be.
No. Sometimes it makes sense. Sometimes it's just, what the hell were they thinking?
And they say that.
Yes. So anyway, randomly in all of the vacuum shadows loop, they find another support Russia. Imagine that. Just randomly there.
They did imagine it. That's why it was there.
Yeah, the monster dropped loot.
Yeah. He did. So they summon the police Russia, which is much faster than the Rainbow Line, which suddenly has some blinds that Conductor can meaningfully look out.
They've been there. They've been there pretty much ever since they both started playing detective.
Yeah, I know. But I think it's just like, you can't even see it from there. So anyway, the police Russia is actually kind of awesome. It has a giant f***ing gun that flips out.
And a much better step up from tank and car carrier now.
And when they combine with Tokyo, it forms Decaranger Robo.
Except this time they don't have to shoot through a building.
Unfortunately.
And they don't do that sideways jump with bad CGI. So, not really.
Well, Killjoy.
That's Paladin.
Its finishing move is basically just hold it still and blow its f***ing head off. Which is good.
Well, what I love about it, though, is he fires his handcuff arm off, and then he fires at it with Megazord missing an arm.
Yeah.
Which looks f***ing amazing.
It does. And actually, it looks really good on Tokyo, I think. The colors actually look good. It doesn't look like really, like, just the car carrier, which is, what the hell.
Everything about the car carrier is what the hell line. Only the red, only one of the cars comes off.
I know.
And the other three of them are just stuck inside and you can't do anything.
But of course, the best part of that also, besides the badass way the finisher looks, is like, we're going to arrest you. Then they blow it up. He's like, you didn't actually arrest me. And Conqueror's like, oh. And then Mio's just don't think about it. We just murdered the hell out of him.
It's okay. He died while resisting arrest.
Oh, sure.
It's funny because it's sad.
But that was that episode, more or less. Besides...
No, what? You're missing the best part of the whole episode.
Oh, Conductor at the end?
Yes.
Yes.
It's giant wine glass.
Yes. And like this bucket of wine in front of him.
And his... In the 2-liter bottle of wine next to it.
Yes.
Yes.
It looks like it's like that.
Looking meaningfully out the blinds into the sun.
Yeah, I think the only time I've seen a bigger wine glass is on one of those early episodes with one of the like first week that Conan was on the Tonight Show.
Yeah. The bad thing is, I think he could pour that entire 2-liter into it.
Imagination.
Maybe he did.
Would explain
this
really
helps me imagine shit.
It helps me imagine this puppet on my arm. I can only feel when I'm drunk.
Intro quote.
So that's how his imagination powers puppet. He's just really f***ing smashed all the time.
Speaking of smashed, what the hell is this thing bouncing around with Mio in the next episode? White puffball, and I guess we need another filler episode before we get to 6.
Another filler or two, maybe.
Yeah.
Judging from the clips, it looks like the stunt actor is learning how to use a Warhammer better.
Yeah. Hopefully.
If only they could learn how to use a spear.
We'll get to that next week. Don't worry.
No, I'm pretty sure that Baron's inability to use a spear correctly is actually intentional.
Yes, but what about Kota's? Say we'll get to later.
Who do you think he learned how to use it from?
When he used banana arms before, wasn't he using the spear correctly?
Oh, yeah. That's right, I forgot about that.
So, you know, that's a thing. I guess that means we're talking about Gaim now.
Please.
No.
Shut your fucking face.
Yeah.
Why would you even do that to our beautiful, beautiful Gaim?
I don't know.
Taint
the
it
Mushu
with horrible...
Battle Book Blue, part 2 of 3.
Wait, what?
Nothing.
Okay, so Takatora is recounting the important parts of his conversation with Roshuo to bring the kids back up to speed after last week's crossover made them forget about anything except Ryoma putting his brain in a robot.
Yes, because that episode did not matter in the slightest bit.
It does, because Ryoma put his brain in a robot.
Yeah, that's why that episode mattered. Because Ryoma took a marker and
gotten it out again.
Because Ryoma took a marker and drew cartoon dotted lines across his forehead.
He trusted Minato to cut his brain out, too.
And put it back.
Yeah, that's impressive.
The cartoon dotted lines were the actor's idea, or if that was in the script.
I kind of hope it was the actor's idea, just because it'd be like, the actor's having so much fun doing this. Which he would have to be after Garo.
And of course it is a very Ryoma thing to do.
It is. So anyway, Sagara appears, and Roshuo already has the Fruit of Knowledge that's meant for Earth. But he has no hope for humanity's future and plans to use the fruit for better things, which apparently amounts to resurrecting whoever is in that coffin.
So he's basically Overlord Anakin Skywalker.
So my guess is that it's who or whatever is appearing as Other Mai.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, unfortunately.
It's the tidiest answer, which doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be correct, especially with some of the stuff the show has done so far, but it kind of makes sense. And since we're on, the back half of the series already, they can't be throwing too much more crazy stuff out, unfortunately.
Mm.
In the stage of the series where everything starts to have to come together instead of branching out farther.
Unless you're O's. And in these few episodes, it's starting to seem like it really is starting to come together a little bit more.
The difference between Gaim and O's is that Gaim is written well.
And consistent.
Yeah, with Gaim, the writer actually knows from beginning to end what's going to happen in the series, and it's not being changed as it goes along.
And he's the only one writing it.
So far, it's not.
Well, yeah.
The thing is, it's doing well,
so it has no reason to change.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Anyway, now we get to catch up on the fight elsewhere and watch Demushu fly through the crack. Gaim and Baron take off after him, and Sid's about to give chase, but Michi stops him as Reyue approaches. Which is the most annoying name to say.
Radio Wave?
It keeps throwing me off because he's the green one, and I keep thinking red when I see his name written out. I'm like, wait, but Demushu is...
Demushu thinks humans have a terrible architectural sense and sets the city on fire.
Holy shit, that is the most random destruction. I was like, oh, he's gonna just throw. Holy cow! He's gonna throw up 15 city blocks. Okay.
Pretty much. Although you never see any of those fires again. So.
No, but
it's Yggdrasil. They got that shit under control.
Well, we'll talk about that in a couple minutes.
They sent their 3 Kurokages out to put out all those fires.
all of them armed with flamethrowers, because that'll help.
We'll burn this fire out.
Fight fire with fire, damn it.
Back in Helheim...
burn.
Back in Helheim, Reyue asks Sid and Michi if they seek the forbidden fruit, and then begins to attack them.
Now, here's the funniest thing. It's like seeing two villains initiate, like, writer teamwork.
Yes, didn't Mitchie figure if they actually work together, they might be able to subdue the Overlord? And I think really what Mitchie's thinking here is he's going to let Sid go out in front, and maybe, you know, if it doesn't look like he's going to get punched in the face again, he'll help too.
Yes!
But they only have to hit Reguet a couple times, and he surrenders in the face of their overwhelming power. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Anyway, Reguet promises to lead him to the Forbidden Fruit, and they all go take a walk. Sid believes he's achieved a great victory and his goals are within reach, while Mitchie hangs back a little trying to figure out just how much shit they're in right now.
They're lost.
I mean, you know, for everything Mitchie's become, this is still one of the, like, cool little Mitchie moments where he's the only one who understands exactly what's going on and is trying to figure out how to work with it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like that that part is staying consistent, even as he's turning into a little piece of shit everywhere else.
Turning into.
And still throwing everyone he allies himself with to the wolves.
Uh-huh.
We'll get with that.
We'll get to that.
Yes, we will.
So, Demushu is attacking that one courtyard again. smashing patio furniture like there's no tomorrow. And then the police show up. But
holy
shit! But unfortunately,
is that the
since...
police in Zombie City?
Unfortunately, since this is not episode 31 of Kuga, the cops have had no time to learn and develop special weapons, and their bullets have absolutely no effect other than to make Demushu a little angrier.
Because that's what we need, Demushu to be angrier.
He's about to start slaughtering some cowering civilians, but Gaim jumps in and blocks. He takes a pretty strong hit, and Baron has to start covering for him. Kota, on the ground, wants to know why Demushu is doing all this, and it's simple. The humans have what the Overlord's lost, and he can't stand it. Kota's kind of pissed off as f*** that there's no more meaning than that to Demushu's actions. But Kaito's not really surprised and tries again to get Kota to see that negotiation isn't possible.
Yeah.
And I don't really think he's wrong.
No, I don't think...
I like how suddenly that Kaito appears reasonable instead of the crazy one.
Yeah.
And Kota looks impossibly idealistic.
And what the bad thing is, neither of them have actually changed their perspective. It's everything around them that's changed.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, and Kaito realized from the start fighting Demushu what Demushu's ends were.
Yeah.
Because
you know,
he's him.
It does, wow. Like, I don't... He probably would not just, like, automatically decide that Roshu or Reguet were, you know, not worth talking to about it,
but Demushu came out and tried to f***ing kill him.
Repeatedly.
Yeah, repeatedly. And often. Jumping out of trees. And
almost actually did.
Yeah.
Yes. Repeatedly.
Okay. So, Sagara talks about how all the survivors of the Overlord species have become that way, but it's not too late for humans to take a different course. Roshio doesn't get why Sagara is so much on the side of the humans, but as usual, Sagara says he just wants the game to be as interesting as possible. So Roshio produces the Fruit of Knowledge and removes a small amount of its power, which transforms into a new toy. Sagara observes that instead of a lock seed, this is a key, and says he's unsurprised that it's something both races have in common. And then he disappears so he can tempt Kota with a bit of Forbidden Fruit later on.
Again.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, at Yggdrasil, Minato is having to talk down the mayor, since the casualties are piling up faster than they can hide the bodies.
There's government?
This wasn't part of their agreement. It's fine, though. Ryoma's got this under control. From his special secret science bunker, he's all duked up and ready to deploy all of Yggdrasil's resources to counter the Overlord's attack. All the resources that don't involve him personally, that is.
While he sits there in his super armor, just in a chair.
While he sits there in his super armor that is wired into all of his computers.
Yes! That dismantles all communications all across the city.
Yeah. The first thing to do in a crisis is to take away everyone's ability to communicate.
Yeah, Ryoma reveals that Yggdrasil is in fact Big Brother, and engages intelligence system so that he can not only shut down all electronic communications in the city that, you know, aren't under Yggdrasil's direct control, but also watch literally everything from his little control center there.
Ryoma is watching you, Fap. Probably.
And probably enjoying it, too.
Yes!
So he directs the armed response against Demushu, sending probably all the Kurokages out since their anti-city weapon system is still broken.
Three of them and all the CGI.
Well,
and a flock of dandeliners.
Yeah, apparently they rebuilt the lock vehicles pretty quick.
Apparently. Yeah. It's not like...
Or they were just lying off their ass.
They've only shown that the other ground-based bikes can actually access the forest.
I was going to say, yeah, the dandeliners probably do not have interdimensional
drive. They can't get up to 88 miles per hour.
Oh, they probably can. They fly.
Well, they go pretty. They fly pretty slowly, though.
They're only like Vespas in the air.
Ironic.
So it's probably just tulip hoppers and the motorcycle types that can...
Why you wouldn't build that into all of them? I don't know.
Because the dandeliners are mass production, and it's cheaper to not put an interdimensional drive system in them.
Yeah, well, so were the tulip hoppers, though.
The tulip hoppers were never seen in as big a numbers, though.
That's true.
Right, they only had that one fleet, and I think Kaito blew up most of them.
The show's already forgotten about them.
Well, that's because they're stupid looking.
The dandeliners actually have some practical use.
Let's see. Gaim and Baron aren't doing too great, and yeah. Kota gets his transformation broken. Demushu is ready to kill him with a fireball, but Baron dives in front and gets blown away. Kaito's
building and down through a building.
Yeah, so Kaito's trapped in some rubble, with his driver having fallen off out of reach.
Now, like, couldn't he...
It's not like he has a spare one or anything.
He was shown to be carrying both. Can't he just use the Sengoku to break out?
That's less
dramatic. That's not important right now. Shut up. Kota again pushes for why Demushu is doing this, and it's even worse than before. He's doing it just for the fun of it. Kota finally sees that talking is completely pointless, because there's never going to be an understanding, at least between them and Demushu, because he's just...
Kind of a lost cause there.
He's kind of insane.
Kota's the most lovable idiot. Like, he makes bad choices or bad choice, but you don't really hate him for it.
No, he's too... he's... Like,
bless his heart.
He's like... Yes. Yes. He's like too idealistic, and I think in a lot of other series, this would annoy the f*** out of me. Like, say, you know,
yeah.
Gundam Seed. Somehow Kota manages to still be endearing in spite of it.
So, staggering to his feet, he goes Kachidoki. And he's ready to use all his power to bring Demushu down, telling him that it was because of people like him that the Overlord civilization fell.
I think a part of it is, though, because when it does come down to it, Kota will do what is necessary despite that.
And that's what makes him such a great and balanced character.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas with Seed, everything Kira does is right. Period.
Regardless of if it's wrong.
Yeah. No, if he does it, it's right.
Yes. Yeah, so I love the oh snap moment when Kota says, yeah, you're the reason why your race died. And your mom was fat too.
I know, that's exactly how it comes across.
It is.
It's perfect. But unfortunately,
oh, speaking of fat mamas, here's Marika.
Yeah, unfortunately Kota's blocked from making the finishing shot by Marika, who is instructed by Ryoma to stop Gaim first so the Overlord won't be killed. Now, contrary to what people were saying after the episode aired, the Kurokage attacks are actually really inconsequential. But Demushu's whirlwind attack and then, you know, subsequent sword blow kind of does him in, and, you know, that's why he's almost dead.
Yeah. That's how I read it. I don't see... Did somebody else think it was the Kurokages that made him so injured?
I saw more than a few comments making it out like the Kurokage thing was more contributing.
Oh,
I would not...
Okay. Yeah.
But you know how toku fans are in general.
Wrong. I don't pay...
They're wrong.
Yes, yeah. Basically.
Let's just go with that, yeah.
Yes.
So, Kaito, having recovered his Genesis driver, thanks to, you know, one of the Kurokage casualties, blows through the wall. He blows through the wall, grabs Kota, and escapes, leaving Yggdrasil's troops to deal with Demushu.
I like how Minato's like, hey, Kaito, help us. Wait, where are you going?
Help us, Professor's orders. Wait, what do you mean? Why are you flipping me off?
It's about time somebody did.
Reguay led Sid and Michi to Roshua's lair. Sid moved ahead to claim the forbidden fruit, as was the agreement he and Michi reached before. Reguay tells them the fruit must be taken by force, and Sid is sure that'll just make it easier.
Sure! Absolutely.
What could possibly go wrong?
And then Renue is surprised Michi would turn down this power, but Michi's all like, bitch, this is such an obvious trap.
That's the best part.
Michi already figured out Renue just wants them to fight Roshio and get the fruit so Renue can just kill them after and take it with
Michi
no effort.
Michi figured out Renue is Michi.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Takes one to know one.
Kind of like how Demushu is basically, you know, Kaito.
Kaito? Yeah.
Pretty much.
Well, and the colors match up, too.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, Roshio is white and Kiwami is white.
Roshio is Koto or Zangetsu?
He is
Zangetsu. Kota's the wild card, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
He's the unknown factor.
The second unknown factor, anyway.
So I guess how this is going to work out is that basically it's a repeat of it, but the Helheim world didn't have a Kota.
That makes sense.
So Kaito stumbles into Team Gaim's garage with Kota. He tells him to patch Kota up and tries to leave, but Kota grabs his coattail with his bloody, bloody hand.
Damn.
They not have hospitals in this city?
Sunday morning!
Yeah. Yeah, that's where they took Rat when he got infected with plants.
Yeah, but that was during business hours during the weekdays
Sunday
when the hospitals actually open.
This aired between Tokuger and Precure. And we have Kota bleeding out on the floor. Okay. Sure. Why not? I was surprised. I expected him to leave like a bloody handprint on the rail when he pushed himself up.
Kota wants to know if Kaito's ends and motive are any different from the Overlord's, and they kind of aren't. Kota collapses.
Actually proud of his ends.
Kota collapses again before he can protest much, and Kaito tells Kota he needs to get stronger. It's his duty. Kaito goes to leave, and Zack decides he's going with to help fight.
You know, and it's like, Zack continues, like, he doesn't have a lot going for him character-wise, but I still like him for some reason.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot going for him character.
He's still trying, and he's still loyal to Kaito for giving him this.
And he's not Pekko.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
He doesn't have
he's
a lot of
hero in the show.
That's right. That's it. He doesn't have a lot of character because his motives are very straightforward. You know, he wants to do what's right and help people. He's the only one that has that as a pure motive.
Yeah. Whereas Kota, you know, he murders his best friend and well.
And then murders everybody else.
Not intentionally, but he still did. It kind of colors things a little bit.
Well, I mean, it kind of informed his later actions, like, yeah. You know, deciding he was okay with it and, you know, going on Kurokage slaughters.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Zack's just like, you know, I have power, let's do the right thing. Let's go.
Yep. So Sid gets his audience with Roshio. Pocketor is a little angry at the sight of Sid and wants to know what he's doing there. And Sid tells him, just chill out and watch. I'll be back to murder you again in a minute.
I like how casual Sid is at seeing Takatora live. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, man, you are just so beneath me right now. I don't even care.
I'm going to be God.
He's going to be a naughty vampire god.
Sid transforms and starts to rush at Roshio, but stops when Roshio produces the Fruit of Knowledge again. He throws Sid around the ruins a little bit, never actually laying a hand on him.
Yes.
And he warns Sid to abandon his quest for the Fruit of Knowledge. If he gives up, his life can still be spared. Sid refuses. He's unwilling to be subordinate to anyone ever again. And as he pushes forward into Roshiro's force push, the cigarette
never
suit
touched
and
him once.
The cigarette suit and his driver and Lockseed disintegrate off him. So if Sid is determined to sacrifice his life to meet his ambition, Roshio decides to aid him to his end. He splits a stone wall and throws Sid in the fissure and forces the wall closed again.
Whoops.
As Sid's screams abruptly end, just his hat is left, rolling back toward the watching Takatora.
Well, that was
crushing.
That was like even though it's off screen, I think that's the most like brutal death I've seen in
it's pretty
quite a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I can't think of one that really tops it, actually.
But really, the best part of this.
There was that one death in Shin.
But I mean, like Heisei. Let's say Heisei.
And, you know,
technically
like
Heisei?
Yes.
Well, post Kuga. since it's been on Sunday mornings along with Super Sentai.
But no, the best part of this, too, is that, you know, afterward, Magenta changed his Twitter avatar to the Cherry Crush logo.
Yes, yes, good.
Everyone wants a victory drink.
Back in Zawami, the Kurokage siege against Demushu is going a lot better than I expected. Some of the Kurokages are even still alive. Ryoma says that Ryoma says that some sacrifices are fine and holds up the order to capture the Overlord no matter what. Minato is hesitant, but accepts the command. Before she rushes forward to likely be killed herself, Kaito and Zack arrive, transforming and rushing to rejoin the fight. And next time, the awesome happens, and also new toy stuff, which is not at all the awesome part. Because there's a lot of awesome, and none of it's the new product placement.
Yeah. It's a rare miss for Gaim that way.
Hmm. Well, I'm sure we'll talk more about that next week. So yeah, that's Gaim. That was quite an episode, and I like the next one even more.
Yeah. I do like that hero moment with Baron and I forgot his rider name.
Knuckle.
Knuckle. Okay. Yes.
How could you even?
I don't know. It just kind of slipped out of my head.
Is that rider with those things on the ends of his fist between the fingers and the hand part?
Kamen Rider, Handman. But no,
Kamen Rider Fisto.
Kamen Rider Handyman. He'll fix what's wrong.
You know, that rider moment. I mean, that hero moment at the end with, where the secondary rider has the secondary rider. And there's a double transformation.
Well, yes. No, but Ken, in Baron's world, Baron is the main writer.
This is true.
So it's only natural that he has a secondary when he goes off to be heroic.
Of course.
And, you know, just like in Michi world, he's Kuga and doesn't need a secondary writer.
Or he thinks he's Tendo and he can f*** over everybody else. He thinks he's Tendo.
He's the Tendo that thinks he doesn't need Gatak.
Yeah, he's the Tendo who doesn't actually ever succeed. But he just thinks he's right the same.
Yeah, Michi is Tendo without Tendo's actual, like, being right all the time.
It's yes. Like being Tendo without all the stuff that makes him Tendo.
Like being a badass. Competent.
Successful.
Yes.
Handsome.
I bet Michi can't cook either.
I bet he thinks he can.
Either that or thinks cooking's beneath him.
Well, my cooking was ruined. Damn you, Kota! It's all Kota's fault. He just walked into the room, man.
You made my souffle fall, you bastard!
I was gonna give that to Mai.
I think I just realized it. Michi is Fortress Ironhold in a way.
Oh, wow. Fort Max, you've done the impossible. You've, like, ruined Michi more than Michi was already ruined. Ugh.
No, I'm mentioning Michi with the paper route. The Takatora does for him.
No, he gets Kota to do it for him. Kota does it too, because he's his best friend. You can trust Michi.
No, I figured it out. I'm going back to my Kuga thing before, but in Michi's world, he's Kuga, but he's Decade Kuga with his own show.
Oh, God. Why?
It's perfect. It makes perfect sense.
That's the scary part.
Yeah. Is it next week yet?
No, you have to wait another 7 days before we do this again.
Damn.
7 days of reading people bitch about Aesir's translation again.
What did they
bitch who even
about?
Cares?
Oh, what's that?
Well, we'll go over that some.
Spoiling, but they translated Kiwami to Zenith Arms.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, that wasn't the only thing they did, but...
They did a lot of things. They did a lot of translation things in that fight, but... Yeah,
we'll talk more about that next week.
Yeah.
I know we've all seen it. We're all really excited to talk about some of the cool parts that have nothing to do with the toys, but, you know,
yes.
We need to hold on to some of that.
Yes, anyhow.
So stop listening to us and go watch more Gaim.
And Acer got that episode out quick, too.
Less than 24 hours.
Yeah. And I was off yesterday, too. That was nice.
Yeah, I watched the live stream Saturday afternoon and was really, really anxious for the subbed. And usually I wait until after we record to watch the subbed episode. But
it's That was basically, I do basically do the same normally. But then I had seen the 31 the week before, right after we recorded. Or not, I wasn't recording last week. So it was like Tuesday or so when I saw it. And I was like, oh, shit.
Okay, let's take a break since we finished talking about all the good stuff, and we'll come back and talk about something that's not.
Oh, must we?
You're listening to Superhero Time.
The new Nerf bow and arrow is coming your way, and it means business.
The power is pumping, and arrows in your hand. Now your heart is pumping fire as quick as you can.
Nerf bow and arrow.
The enemy's coming, now they're in your sight.
Nerf bow and arrow.
To the front of the line, in the thick of the fight.
Nerf bow and arrow.
The mightiest Nerf adventure ever.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So, we kind of dropped Garo.
Whose idea was this?
We kind of dropped Garo because, you know, nothing's kind of happening.
Because it was terrible.
It's not terrible. It's just, you know, there's not a lot.
Apparently things are happening in episode 9 now.
Yes. So, well.
Oh, well.
So there's that if anyone actually wants to check it out.
Well, they should have thought of that when they were on episode 7.
But so, yeah, your replacement is so much better.
Well,
I will not debate, but it's important to note that this is still original Sentai classicness. This is what started it all, and you have respect, whether you like it or not. You pretend that you do.
I have respect that this man to enjoy it.
No, but you pretend that you enjoy it.
Any more than you enjoyed when we watched the first Rider series.
I totally love that. I was the biggest supporter of that episode.
Why?
You can go back to the archives and prove it.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah, I think it was actually Ken that hated that episode.
No. Fight me.
That's very unsafe behavior.
For Ken. Well, Mickey, I guess it's up to you.
All right, then. So,
that means it shouldn't take very long.
Hooray!
Oh, snap. So, this episode's all about Silver Heat Mask, I guess, which is a dude wearing a giant metal ant head.
And is that an ant or is it a dragonfly?
I thought it was an ant.
Could be a mosquito.
I assume it's like a fire ant.
No one cares.
Because what he does is he sets fire to all of f***ing Japan. And they cut to scenes of entire Japanese hilltops burning, which I assume is not stock footage. They probably actually set them on fire and just filmed it for the episode.
Oh, it's okay. They're surrounded by water.
Yeah. It's a controlled burn.
Fat Lee was on the loose.
So, he checks in with his master of the, apparently he's a Grand Dragon, the KKK. I don't know what the hell's Go Ranger's on about. But after
they changed Black Cross a lot for Gokaiger.
Yeah. So after he talks with the Grand Wizard, they send their business ninjas out to attack Aka Red or Aka Ranger, whatever.
Aka Ranger, because Aka Red.
Aka Ranger, yes.
Aka Red is the one with the collar,
right?
And the belt buckle.
And who sounds like Amuro?
Belt buckles.
He's the one that
sounds
like Amuro.
Regardless, dressed in a leisure suit and bicycle helmet, he kicks all their asses pretty solidly. It's pretty pimp, if somewhat boring action.
Somewhat boring. Well, that sums this episode up pretty well.
Yes. So, Silver Heat Mask retreats into the forest into his papier-mâché cave. And they charge him up or something. What's going on here, actually? I skipped ahead too far.
No, skip further.
yeah, you skipped over the part where...
He hasn't charged up enough to burn the whole world, but he can burn Tokyo just fine.
Yeah, you skipped over the part where Secretary Ranger is having a picnic with her little brother.
Before that, though, Aqua Ranger has to resort to morphing while Silver Heat Mask manages to turn the things up so hot that he sets rocks on fire.
See, when you put it like that, it makes it sound awesome, but...
Yeah, but watching it, not so much.
Watching it, I kind of just wanted to nod off.
I'm pretty sure I did nod off.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this shit.
Did you even watch it,
Will?
I'm watching it right now.
Aqua Ranger pulls out his jump rope whip, whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, I think you're pretty much right there.
Pink and Green show up and scare off Heat Mask away. And then that's where he runs into his paper mache cave. So, yeah, I skipped that part. Meanwhile, Secretary 007 has her child dressed in alarmingly short pants.
Well, still better than the
thong
what
boy,
they were
yeah.
putting the kids it's in the writer a... show that was going on at the time.
Yes, at least he's not in a thong. And I'm looking at you stronger when I say that. That's your fault. You allowed that to happen. But aside from his alarmingly short pants, apparently she's been beating the shit out of him too because he's missing quite a few teeth.
He has more teeth when he shows up in close-up later, though.
That's because they filmed that out of order. That's after she struck him a few more times. But she feeds him
apparently
a lovely toast
sandwich.
Apparently
she was taking parenting lessons from the Dallas Cowboys defense at the time.
Yeah, the Dallas Cowboys are really big in Japan at the time. It was a cultural phenomenon. Kind of like how Power Rangers was here back in 1993. They were just everywhere. That's factual. You can prove that. So, while the kid runs off with his toast sandwich to get some fresh creek water for his mom or whatever the f*** he is.
Sister,
yes. Yeah,
he fills Japan, she could be both.
He fills up his thermos full of, you know, nice green water full of mosquito larvae for her to drink. And Silver Heat Mask charges up his laser. And he's good to go for another hour of burning shit.
Yeah, well, solar-powered batteries aren't super efficient, so...
Yeah, we learned that from Lightspeed Rescue.
Or, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
So, naturally, Short Pants Shaggy steps on a twig and alerts the monster to their presence, and they both get kidnapped.
I don't think it was that. I think it's more that he just ran out into the open.
Short Pants Shaggy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So in the paper mache cave, Heat Mask tells Secretary 007 to, you're going to be our spy. And she's like, no, I won't do it. He's like, yes, you will. No, I won't. I'll hurt your boy. Okay, I'll do it.
Well, first, no, I won't do it. And it takes almost drowning the boy for her to actually do it.
Yes, so he loads the boy into a lobster cage and then drops him down a mine shaft into a river.
Well,
which I kind of get the feeling that he didn't intend for the cage to get stuck right before the water. I think he actually was just going to drown the kid.
We're going to need another Timmy.
Taro.
This is the 70s. That's when they did have other Timmies.
No, we're going to need another Taro.
Yeah, he wants so to be big again.
Like, sweet root or.
Shut up, Port Mac.
So while the Go Rangers unsuccessfully comb the countryside, not finding shit, Blue. Well, they're here because she told them the monster was going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling the story terribly because I'm all sorts of drunk and not really paying attention.
That makes it better, though.
It's not terrible.
It's still more interesting than the episode itself.
Yes. So, 007 leads them on a wild goose chase to get ambushed by Heat Mask. And Heat Mask goes fishing with a net and captures Blue and drags him about 1,000 feet in the air, then drops him square on his shoulder. And it's awesome.
Well, I like, because... too, that they run up and yell at him to pull himself together when probably most of his bones are broken and separated.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah, literally, pull yourself together.
You can just walk that off, right?
And yeah. Since this was the 70s in Japan, I assume they didn't use stunt actors for this. They actually just dropped the real actor about 40 feet into the rocks.
Same thing Garo did later.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, back at the base, Captain Winky Coffee is interviewing 007. And he basically calls her out saying, yeah, we know you betrayed us. And blah, 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 blah. I don't really remember what happens.
A lot of shit got set on fire.
Basically, 007 runs away to try and make things right. And I've completely lost track of the episode. So I guess that's about it, really.
Spoiler, big
well,
one.
She almost, she attempts to blow herself up to blow up the monster.
That's right. She's carrying on the thermos bomb with her.
What it looked like. A big thermos with an alarm clock strapped to it.
Yeah, I do like the whole kamikaze thing she tries to do, because, you know, that always goes over so well for Japanese audiences nowadays. Or especially back then when I was closer to it, you know, I mean, so noble. I don't know. Okay, I've lost interest now.
I think we all have.
I lost interest like 3 hours ago when I watched it.
But whose idea was it to watch Go Ranger?
Yours.
No, it wasn't mine.
I
know.
I think
what the most recent episode out was.
I haven't even heard the episode from last week yet. But I think it was Fort Max's. I said we voted.
All in favor.
Aye. Okay. Well, it's official. It was Fort Max's idea to watch this.
Democracy wins again.
Yeah. JD would be proud. He'd be proud that for once it wasn't him.
Yes.
So, what are we doing next week to wash this taste out of our mouths?
Dang. That's a good question.
You know, TV Nihon quality or not, I'm kind of thinking we maybe need some Ryukendo or Rescue something to actually give us something fun and upbeat with, you know, maybe a little jam project.
Better than any idea I could have.
Yeah.
All right, let's look at episode titles and pick the craziest one then.
Well, do we want to actually try what we were talking about a little bit last week and actually watch a Rescue Fire episode with the second team in it? Or do we want to do something Ryukendo?
Rescue Fire.
Let's go with the Rescue.
Okay, well, that's guaranteed jam project at least.
Let's see here. Where is the episode listing? Ah, here we go.
Jam project makes everything better.
So, let's see. They joined
around 20, I think.
No, they entered in 15, it looks like, because that's entered the Sky Team.
Well, that's around 20.
Yeah. Yeah. If you round up.
Now, which series was it that had the giant upside-down umbrella?
That was Ryukendo.
That was Ryukendo.
Okay.
Sorry.
The world's largest umbrella.
That was such a great episode.
That was a great episode. I think I'm going to
do wish I could remember that one now.
Maybe you weren't here that week.
Explosively extinguished.
I can never tell that either.
What, Ken?
Explosively extinguished a big typhoon.
You know, I kind of like that.
A big traffic jam will rescue fire making in time. That's the one we watched.
Yes, it was, actually.
Yeah.
Dance with a plant monster.
Yeah, we watched that. Because it didn't have the Sky Team.
Oh, let's look a little later then.
How about All Important Colleagues?
All Important Colleagues? Or one with Gaia Leon.
Oh, no, shit, here we go. The Blue Pearl Secrets 7-piece combination completed.
What number?
So we at least know that there'll be some kind of big 7-piece combination in it.
So what, it's probably a plot slash buyer new toy episode. And it came right after Gaia Leon, so it's probably...
It's not like the second half of anything, is it?
Oh, you're probably right about that.
I don't know, because... Well, let's see here.
Because that could get confusing fast.
I think...
It's Rescue Fire. It's going to be confusing regardless, because Rescue Fire... It's like watching Ryukendo. It doesn't matter if it's a standalone episode. It still, you know, it doesn't make any sense.
Okay, what about special number 39, special training with Teamwork We Are One? That sounds like a standalone episode to me.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that one then.
Yeah, why not?
We'll probably find out why not right away.
Yeah, that was right after the team up with Rescue Force, I think.
Well, and anyway, even if the episode... Even if the episode is bad, we can spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about how much we like Jam Project songs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everybody loves Jam Project.
They should.
Exactly. Just like Psychic Lover. Who doesn't enjoy Psychic Lover music?
Not I.
Horrible people.
Exactly. Exactly.
Say it.
So I have some bad news. We're only up to like an hour and 15 minutes pre-edit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was looking at the clock. I was like, huh. Well, shit.
But yeah, I would imagine they're on the second opening by that point in the series.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Which, that's not a bad song at all.
I just wanted to link it.
Just because Jam Project?
Just because Jam Project, and it is an awesome opening.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that Takara Tomy hadn't really stopped funding these. It's kind of nice to have this other, you know, side thing that's not necessarily Garo, but another kid-focused thing besides the Toei stuff.
I guess it wasn't doing enough to help sell the little die-cast cars.
I guess not, because they went right from Rescue Fire. The what took over the time slot was animated, and since then they've just been.
You can't even find Rescue Force or Rescue Fire stuff for sale that often.
Mm-mm.
Really? That's weird.
Tells you how distributed it probably is, or not.
It probably just tells you how little demand there actually is for it.
Yeah. Well, that's my point.
Well, no, it's Japan, so I'm sure it was in every shop. It's just nobody wanted to buy
it. Yeah, but if nobody bought it, nobody's reselling it.
I'm sure some of it will appear at, like, TJ Maxx and stuff.
Japanese TJ Maxx.
No, American TJ Maxx.
Or also Bargain Hunt next to the GoBuster toys.
Yeah. How did that even happen?
I don't know.
Where did you find it?
It was the most bizarre f***ing thing.
Where did you find it?
A store called Bargain Hunt. That is still like damaged package stuff and sort of clearance closeout things. Shit nobody wants.
You found the powered Morphin thing?
Yeah.
That's
it was just there on the shelf.
A regular one or a Korean one?
It was a Japanese box.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Dang.
Yeah, so I'm a clearance retail outlet, and I turn around, oh, look, there's GoBuster staring me in the face in Japanese.
Hmm? Is that the only thing they had, too?
Yes! I was just like, what? What?
You could not buy that.
No, of course not. Well, especially...
I'm not really used for it, because I don't have a Morphin brace, but like...
But still!
It's at the time I was in Kmart, and I found a Sailor Moon Game Gear game. Sailor Moon S for the Game Gear. It's like, well, I had to buy it. I mean,
how much did the Power Morphin thing cost?
$25.
The f***?
Yeah, it's $50 on Amazon.
That is the weirdest f***ing thing.
Yeah, it's like
you don't need it. You don't look to get forced in the mouth.
All the stuff that's not supposed to be there.
2-year-old Sentai toys from Japan.
The crazy thing
Tennessee.
Is, though, okay, the shelf, the price sticker they had on it, in English they had Tokume Sentai GoBusters on it.
So they knew what they were selling.
Yes.
Somebody looked it up and wrote it out.
That's
what
more
the hell
than I would expect. They didn't even translate it.
This is even better than $3 buck on Laserbeak.
In a way, yeah.
It's impressive.
Although, in a way, your BotCon Laserbeak probably did end up in the river.
Well, if by the river you mean, you know, a rushing flow of water that destroyed someone's home, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Because that was right after the major flooding that happened in Nashville.
Yep.
So that's cheery.
Yes, thank you for that.
Vicky's the one who brought it up.
Well, I like that he sold his toys rather than clean them and keep them. Which is what, you know, we did with them.
Right, because some of your Megazords seem to be from the same collection, didn't they?
Yeah. They were covered in river silt.
Yeah. Cleans right off, though. Not really a big deal.
Sure they're not covered in other things?
Not anymore.
They were covered in a rich Nestle Quick.
And then
drop
Ben broke
your milk and drink away.
And then Ben broke the foot off the Falcon Zord.
That was a different thing, though.
Yeah, I know, but yeah. You know,
well, who hasn't done that at one point?
You know, that was kind of fantastic, though, how it happened.
Yeah. The one thing
like,
he touches is
left the room for like 1 minute, came back, and he managed to snap it off.
Uh-huh. Whoops.
He glued back on, it's fine.
And he hasn't touched it since, so...
Right.
I think that's what really makes it work. The glue I put on it was fine, too, until he touched it.
Now, when you say glue...
No, it wasn't hot glue. It was just, you know... Although that might have worked better, too, because it would have, you know, filled in the crevices more.
And it was a Tommy Zord, so if you're going to do that to any Zord...
Oh, naturally.
Yeah.
Naturally. Yeah, how does a custom visor show up at a thrift store? Like, you know...
It was sealed, too, by the way.
I hate that you found that, because I'm the one with the morph embrace.
Yeah, I know, I was gonna... I've been wondering that. I was like, wait... XP's the one that actually has something that can use that.
Does that mean he's your buddy-roid now?
Yeah, Mickey's my buddy-roid. I'm going to wear him as a sports bra.
Well, I pay to see that.
And now someone has to draw that.
Work on that, Mickey.
I say, hey.
Well, you're the one here who can draw.
Or use Photoshop.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I can't.
Oh, that's depressing.
Yep.
It's a shame, too. Mickey had all these good toy finds last week, and then everything kind of balanced back out against him.
Yeah, it looked shitty as day ever.
Oh.
Which is funny, it wasn't really funny at all.
I know, I'm
going to be over a suit coat, twist my ankle in a puddle.
Wait. Okay. Actually, two things. How do you pour hot wax all over your suit?
Okay. You know those little wax melting potpourri things?
No.
Well, it's on Walmart in the candle section, little cube. You just drop them in there, and they melt, and they make nice smells. Yes.
No, because I'm a straight dude.
Okay.
I know
this. Well, we're not. We suck cock, so we know of them.
I know that because I work retail. So.
Okay, so we have.
I like that Ken had to clarify that point too. He knows because he works in retail.
Not because he sucks cock. That's separate.
Precisely.
Okay, Mickey. Buzz.
No, it's almost better. Just leave it alone. No, because if Mickey goes long enough like that, it resolves by itself, and it's almost there.
See?
Okay, so continuing the story. We had a little wax melting thing going on there near where my coats were sitting, so I hung my coat on the coat hanger, and it slid and fell off and hit the cord. We started tipping it over, so I threw my hand out and threw my hand into the bowl of wax to stop it.
Oh!
Which hurt, but it wasn't, you know, like, blistering, just hot. But it still splashed down and hit on top of my coat and hit the floor. But thankfully it didn't hit all the rest of my coats, so...
Well, shit.
Okay, now, I'm also a little unclear in how a puddle causes you to twist your ankle.
Okay. We were leaving the restaurant after dinner.
The Japanese restaurant?
It was, huh?
The Japanese restaurant?
No.
Oh. Where were you eating that time?
I think it was Applebee's. Yeah.
Why
were you there?
Because the day was shitty, and I just wanted to increase the shittiness, and there wasn't a Shoney's nearby.
That's the best response.
It is.
It really is.
Oh, man, Shoney's.
There's still some around here.
I know where there is one.
Yeah, it's a great place to go before a funeral.
Because it'll get you into the right frame of mind.
Yeah. It can only get better from there.
Anyway, so it had just rained, and you know, we were walking up the car, and I assume it was just a shallow puddle.
Oh, it's one of those puddles.
Yeah, no, it was about 6-7 inches deep.
Shit. Only half a foot.
Yeah. Or a complete foot in my case, as it covers my entire shoe all the way up past the ankle into the sock.
Mm. So you busted your ass, basically.
Well, I didn't collapse, but I definitely came down and had a very wrong angle on it and hurt for the rest of the night. And we still had to go to Walmart to buy groceries after that, too. So, yeah, I got to walk around in a wet shoe.
After having eaten at Applebee's.
Sore ankle.
After having eaten at Applebee's.
Well, other groceries, you know, just, you know, drinks.
No, 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 I mean...
Oh, yes.
I'm counting Applebee's
injury, yes.
Yeah, being...
Or injury to insult, is it?
I guess in this case, yeah.
Depends just how shitty your service was.
Well, Ben got his meal comped, so...
Oh, so, par for the course.
Yeah. Okay, well, tell that story now, because... Why did Ben get his meal comped?
Because he asked for medium, and they brought extra well done.
Oh,
f***!
At which point they offered, okay, we'll get it back and have it recooked. And he's like, yeah, by the time y'all do that, they'll finish their meals.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's true.
Yeah, so.
I also like that they, you know, offered to have it recooked when the whole problem is, it's cooked too much already.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand what they mean. They're going to have a new one made, but just phrasing it as, you know, have them recook it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take this one and cook it until it's medium.
We're going to rewind the cooking process. Put it in the refrigerator until it's uncooked. Start over.
Well, that's Applebee's for you.
Yep. Applebee's was actually our second choice. We first went to IHOP, but it smelled like mildew and old mop water.
That's because it's IHOP.
So, like an IHOP, then.
Yeah, basically.
Man, you make all the good restaurant choices.
Didn't you have a Waffle House nearby?
Yeah, actually, we haven't been to a Waffle House. Maybe we should start, because they haven't screwed us over yet.
Yet.
That's because you haven't been there.
I could go to Huddle House. It's like Dollar General brand Waffle House, right?
I've been to a Waffle House, and the reason you don't go to Waffle House. But, you know, when you need to go sit somewhere in the middle of the night and eat pancakes, that's pretty much your option.
I do like what the Waffle House has always had that sign basically saying that we don't discriminate against anybody. Everyone's welcome. It's like, send us your tired, your poor, your weird-ass masses. You're fine here.
So long as you pay us.
Yeah.
The other sign I always see at Waffle House is now hiring.
This is true. About the only place that does. Always have that sign up.
Nobody wants to be at Waffle House, especially the people that work there. So now I want a waffle, damn it. But not from Waffle House.
So
I do.
Yeah,
oh, speaking of waffles, I found popcorn waffles at Walmart the other day.
Popcorn waffles.
Waffles?
Is that like popcorn? Is that like popcorn chicken where you take little pieces of waffle and bread them and deep fry them?
Well, no, just like, imagine like tiny quarter-sized waffles. You just have like a bowl full and you just dip them in little ramekins of butter or syrup or whatever.
They had that. It was a cereal. That was like in the 90s.
That's not what I'm talking about. Anyway, so apparently like Pillsbury or Eggo or some shit saw my tweet and rushed it to market, I guess. I don't know.
Are you talking about like those little pull-apart ones that come like you have four and you pop them in the toaster?
Like those, but smaller.
Oh, they made them even smaller?
Yeah.
Oh,
so what is it now, a bundle of eight?
No, it's still a bundle of four, but it looks like you're getting six in the package. They're packaged like in these little 88-cent little pouches.
Huh.
But anyway, long story short, they're f***ing terrible. Don't buy them.
Oh, why do you taste
even worse than noted. Eggos. Like, they make Eggos taste like fresh-made waffles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, are there any good waffles you can get?
If you have an Aldi, their frozen waffles are pretty good.
I think we have those here.
Or you could just buy an actual waffle maker, make them yourself, then freeze them yourself.
Yeah, we have Waffle Houses, though.
That's a lot of work, though.
But you don't have Waffle Houses?
No, we have Coney Islands.
No, I think Waffle House is kind of a southern thing.
It is, because like if I go out and visit my relatives, there's like one Waffle House in Houston. And it's not on the outside.
I thought they were universal. Huh.
Yeah, no. I was surprised too until I realized. I was like, oh, well.
We had people, like, we had family come
like
visit.
Like I have no Jack in the Boxes.
Yeah, that's very sad for you.
It is.
We had family come visit several years ago, and they'd never seen a Waffle House before. And my sister's husband at the time made the offhand joke that, like, his family always called it the Awful Waffle. And so one of the relatives that came down basically would not stop going on about Awful Waffle every time we saw one going around places here, and kind of drove me up the wall.
Did you slap them?
No, you don't understand. The more you repeat a joke, the funnier it is, right, Paladin?
Yeah.
And to answer your question, Ken, no, I didn't slap her because she was like five times my size.
Oh, well.
So, you know.
And once you slap something like that size, it just keeps on moving and rippling. It's like a butterfly flapping its wings. It just... The after effects will create a tornado across town.
Five times your size. Oh, wow.
If she was red, would she be three times as fast as you?
Probably.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Okay, that's probably enough.
Do we need to talk about Pokemon or Star Trek first?
Not unless you actually have, like, a topic.
I hear they're making a Pokemon Star Trek game.
No, I don't think so. I don't think he did.
Oh, okay. I'm just imagining Jinx Triss as Counselor Troy.
Do that art.
No, I'm not allowed to draw Jinx.
Says who?
What, by like court order?
No, I think Tumblr would stop me.
Oh, Tumblr.
Well, who cares about Tumblr?
I care about one half of Tumblr.
Which half?
The half that has all the porn on it.
Oh.
So the half that hates all porn.
So the half that most people care about.
Yeah.
I assume the other half of Tumblr is the people who are the Mitchy apologists.
No, they probably like the porn, too. I don't think being a Mitchy apologist makes you averse to porn.
I can see Mitchy apologists being crazy enough to be a part of the other half of Tumblr.
Maybe. Mitchy apologists. How do you even?
It gets more and more hilarious every week, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, just, you know, think about it. Somewhere out there, there's somebody that's raksha about Mitchy.
You know, 30 years from now, we're going to have these giant Che Guevara-sized paintings of Mitchy's face.
I wonder if we'll ever see Ryugan again.
Well, he has to die at some point, right?
No, but I mean the Ryugan suit.
I repeat.
Oh, I think Zangetsu's getting his belt back.
I'm kind of wondering if Zangetsu's not just going to go back to his original belt.
Well, there's a reason they keep putting that damn suit in the intro, isn't there?
They just don't want to reshoot that much of the intro.
Most of the intro is not even relevant anymore, so...
No. No, I'm surprised they didn't update it, you know, around episode 28 or so.
Yeah, they're not going to.
Too bad.
Theory I've heard right now is that Kota will finally use Jinba melon arms to finish off Mitchy.
Foist it on his own petard?
Yes.
That's the best phrase. Of course, it's even better if he proceeded with curses.
Such as?
I'm not falling for that. I see your finger hovering by the intro quote button.
I wonder if I could set up an intro quote button.
just a macro.
It'd be a complicated setup, though, because it would have to not only like read the time code off of the recorder, it would also have to be able to be aware of who's talking at that moment. That might be a little complex.
You just install Skynet. It'll be fine.
I'll install the Yggdrasil operating system.
Yeah!
It can probably do all that.
So then it won't record anything.
You can trust them.
No, it'll record everything. It's just that nobody else will get to hear it because, you know, it'll block all communication.
Yes!
It'll capture all of our video, too, whether or not we have webcams.
That's right.
There's a video somewhere.
Superhero Time! 次回もよろしく!
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.